you guys and your support in order to make this podcast happen.
This is so funny.
We already have all Jeremiah Batista already looking out for us with a $1.99 donation. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it.
We're gonna
time to roast the lizard people in Corvette Gate. Yes.
Is that what we're calling Corvette game?
It's because that's like what it. He says. He says that it was secure because it was parked in his locked garage with a Corvette.
Nice.
The guy's a
We're going to let a few people come in. Annabella, you're always here. Thank you so much for being with us. She is a faithful, what is it?
Follower.
MP enjoyer. So thank you for being here. We couldn't do this without you. Instagram, like I said, is dead. It's kind of boring. And
Instagram? Oh, I mean, I'm not even on Instagram. Yeah. So, like, to me, it really is dead. Yeah. Instagram really died.
That's funny.
We're just waiting on our boy Elon to get us back on.
For real.
On tweets.
We have to actually appeal.
Hey, Angie girl. Our girl, Angie McDowell. We have $4.99 donation. Much. Thank you for always looking out for us.
Angel is the best. We have our Trump 2024, and she knows about all these grifters and backstabbers and
no, I love fakes. She's like the most loyal, like
yeah,
hype she's a person loyalist. Of life. Like she loyalist. Stays on, like going after trolls on Truth Social, reading them to filth. I love people like that. You know, don't block and mute people. Well, Linda likes to block everyone.
I like to block.
I like
people.
To fight. I personally like to debate. I stand on my facts, so I'm going to debate the hell out of you. And run circles. I know that annoys a lot of people. All right, so we got about 20 people in the chat. Let's give it just a couple more minutes, guys. Drop some comments in.
Like the post. And also let us know if there's anything in particular you want us to discuss. We're going to talk about the Twitter files, the Corvette Gate. I really like that, actually.
Corvette Gate.
We're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about Shakira.
Yeah. And a lot of other random things as well.
I'm a big blog person. Love me, blog me. Bella has the patience of Job with the cuckoo birds.
She really does. I have no idea how. Like,
it really is accurate.
To be fair, I used to, like, the thing is that there's, it's kind of like a waste of time to go back and forth. And, like, it really pisses me off when
but
people.
It
yeah, it is.
I, why? So here's the thing. And this was something that I've been kind of, I've always done this ever since I first started Red Pill Babe. Like, to me, I feel like people learn while you're debating people in the comments. Mm-hmm. And they, like, get off on that. So, like, if you have, like, a really great own of somebody who just doesn't have their information straight, like, automatically somebody's like, oh, I'm going to follow her because, like, yeah. That was a base thing to say. So, to me, it's not fruitless.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's fruitless. But, like, for example, like, the people that I blocked yesterday because I was like, all right, F you. They were like, you guys have to move on from Trump. Like, that's it. Like, he needs to go away. I'm like, who are you? Like, here's the thing, like... Who are you people to tell Trump that he needs to go away from his base and his the political movement that he started? Like, who are you people? Like, just because all of a sudden you jumped on DeSantis's, like, back, you think that Trump just needs to go away?
How many minutes? So we're 3 minutes into the podcast and we couldn't hold back talking about DeSantis.
It just really, like, honestly, like... It just
no,
really, like, it really
DeSantis
pisses
today.
Me off that people that have never built anything that great, like, listen, like, maybe you want to be a normal person who just wants to have his kids, his family, live a normal life. That's great. But, like, if you build something until you're ready to give those rails to somebody else as a leader, no one can tell you just go away because you bother me, because you said the vaccine is the greatest invention in the world or this and this and that. It's funny. I got into a little argument with a girl named Morgan. What's her name? Morgan. She's a small influencer. I forgot. Morgan something. I don't know. Whatever. And this girl, like, I've never followed her because she always annoyed me. Like, I could just tell she was a grifter from the beginning for, like, 3 years. And there is a video of her, and she's like, oh, like, I'm Team DeSantis because... You know, Trump was pushing the vaccine, and I don't like vaccine salesmen. So I'm like, you know what you're doing right now? You're literally giving the argument of repealing the 19th Amendment because you're making all of us women look like idiots. Nobody voted for Trump or DeSantis or McCartney or Biden or anybody for vaccines. No one. Nobody voted over words. In fact, most Trump supporters would say back in the day, back in 2016, I don't really like what he has to say, but you know what? I'm voting for her for policy. So you don't like what he has to say, and all of a sudden you conflate it with policy, then you're just not well-informed in politics, and you have literally no reason of being online, being a political commentator.
Well, I mean, it also goes back to the comment that I usually end up falling the debate on, which is like, it's hysterical to me that people that had no argument against shots, you know, 10 years ago are now the biggest advocates and are become these like single issue voters where they're ready to throw Trump out because, oh, well, you know, he hasn't spoken out about the shot. So what? Neither has any other politician in American history. Like, it's quite literally, quote me on that. Try to prove me wrong. There is absolutely zero politician that has ever ran on an anti-shot platform. So to ask the man to go out there and make a stance on something that you think because of your echo chamber is common knowledge, it's not. I hate to tell you, we live in a pro-shot society. Yeah. People love that. They actually believe that they need them in order to remain healthy people and be able to live in a functioning society. So I just, to me, it's always a start. But I will tell you something else. I think that it is genius where almost the best thing that could have happened to shot awareness is the 2020 exposure of what's going on right now with the COVID, you know.
Right. With the situation. To me, it's like, okay, Morgan, your entire profile prior to now was all Trump MAGA. Like, you were out there rallying, you were there with the flags, and all of a sudden, over words, you just say that, you know, you don't want to support Trump, fair with me. Then she goes in the comments and she's like one of these like Christ-like, like I'm a Christian, like I'll pray for you. Like I hate to say it, I'm going to be honest, and some people like may say you're wrong, but a lot of times those things comes off of very disingenuous and not like real.
Well, it's
like,
condescending.
To me,
like,
it's
I'm
condescending,
like, morally
and
superior.
Fake. Like, I'm morally superior than you. Like, I'm going to pray for you because you need prayer. Like, no, you don't need to pray for me. She goes and tells me, oh, she posts a comment and says, oh, I see a lot of you Trump cultists, like, you know, saying that DeSantis pushed the vaccine too. Well, I'm just here to tell you that it was Trump who was pushing Operation Warp Speed. Well, Trump was president. DeSantis wasn't.
Yeah, someone just
Trump
said
was
DeSantis
president.
Has spoken out against the shot. No, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. DeSantis told everyone to go out there and get it, and that everyone should get it. So, I mean, I'm not going to knock him for it. Again, it's common. Like, every politician does it.
DeSantis,
there's no one that stands out.
DeSantis is vaccinated.
Right.
DeSantis got vaccinated and is vaccinated and never wanted to even say if he got a second dose. It was supposedly, or people speculated that he got the Johnson & Johnson before there was like all that negative press against the J&J. But people know within the inner circle that he took the vaccination. So I'm not really sure why people, you know, have this whole perspective that he's like some anti-vaxxer. He's not. In fact, the Florida Department of Health, they have a Stay Healthy Florida, like little like 1 minute video. And in that video, they do promote, like, you know, get sunlight, exercise, like all these things. But at the same time, they promote you getting the vaccine. It's promoted.
It's promoted.
It's so definitely promoted in the Florida Department of Health.
IRETA TV
videos.
Just dropped. We're aware that this is currently what's going on. So the article that she's dropping says Governor Ron DeSantis petitions Florida Supreme Court for statewide grand jury COVID-19 vaccines and announces creation of the Public Health Integrity Committee. Perfect. Congratulations. I agree. This is important. However, it's 2023 right now.
It's 2023, and he's getting ready to run.
He's getting ready to run for president. And what a lot of people have not caught the foresight to do is that part of his campaign is going to capitalize on the fact that you've got all these influencers calling Trump the shot salesman or Grandpa Moderna or whatever it is that they want to call him. They're going to, that's part of what they're going to run on. They're going to try and push up DeSantis as some kind of anti-shot hero. And here's my rant, and it's been my rant all day. By the way, Angel, I sent you a video. I'm not sure if we're able to play it in a little bit. I sent it to you by text. But it really drives the point of one of the main points that I have when it comes to DeSantis, which is that I really feel like he's Ron, like, does the bare minimum. Like, he...
Well, it's not just him. It's every single politician in this country that does the minimal work Right. And we applaud like seals, like literally, like, oh, we're letting you keep your stoves.
The bar is like, set so low. The bar is truly set so low on what politicians do for the people that when someone like Rhonda comes in and does the absolute bare minimum, it's something that we clap about and that we, you know, oh, the greatest governor to ever exist. I'm not going to make a knock on Ron DeSantis. He's done really good things for Florida. I think that he's been a really good governor. However, to say that he's great, I think that's only a product of the times that we're living in, where just because every other politician is so shitty that he does one or two, three things that might sound based, and then everybody jumps on board. But are they really based? I mean, we've talked about this.
No, they're not based at all.
When we're talking about the Don't Say Gay bill. Okay, congratulations. You can't talk to kids up to the third grade about, you know, gender ideology and sex and keep it a secret from the secret from their parents. But your fourth grader, wide open. So, again, the bare minimum. Like, was it a win? Sure, it was.
How about this one, though? For some reason, DeSantis bros have not talked about, which is Governor DeSantis appoints Democrat Dave Kerner to captain of the Highway Safety Patrol. So he appoints the past mayor of Palm Beach, the lockdown Palm Beach, okay, masks everybody, okay, persecuted businesses. And no, this is like just no one's talking about it. Why is the governor of Florida in the freest red state appointing a Democrat to the Florida Highway Patrol?
Where's the connection?
Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this?
Play the video? No. All right. So let me tell you guys about it. It's actually on my Truth Social. You can go check it out. It's actually on my Telegram as well. But today DeSantis announced that he was going to keep Florida free and that he was going to fight back against the establishment. And he's going to do that by making sure that you Floridians can continue to use your gas stove. I mean, wow. What a hero. So much bravery.
Right.
So much bravery. So much hero. Guys, you're going to be allowed to use your gas stove. You're going to be allowed to breathe fresh air. You're going to be allowed, to protect your kids from having gender ideology conversations in school with their teachers until they're about 8 years old. Like, I get it. He's doing good things, but it's being done at the bare minimum. So they're not really wins. Like, where are we in the American timeline where during the American Revolution, we literally flipped our shit over a 3% tax increase on tea, and now we're celebrating a governor that's going to let us keep our gas stoves? Where are we in this clown world?
It sounds pretty bizarre. And, I don't, it's one of those things where when I looked at that video and I remember, like, I saw it before you sent it to me, but I saw a smaller clip. I didn't see the whole thing. It was like a 15-second clip. And I was like, why are people clapping over this? Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all that we are going to be clapping because we can keep our gas stoves.
This was the moment for me right here. This is the moment for me. Can we zoom into this? Hold on. Let me see if I can push the phone. This one right here. Look at this right here. The absolute state of don't threat on me. The you absolute state of don't threat on me is Ron DeSantis holding up a sign with a gas stove.
It's really, no, Angel, you're right. It's really bizarre when you look at it. It's more bizarre when there was governors like the lady in South Dakota. What's her name? I forgot her name right now. She didn't close her state at all. There was actually, and there's another one in Idaho. She didn't close her state at all. So if we're going to go, by the COVID situation or anything, we should have probably be choosing somebody who didn't close her states at all. And I agree with you. You shouldn't expect any of these politicians to save. No one's expecting.
That's the argument.
Where is this narrative coming from? Like, that is what I don't understand. Like, who says that any politician is going to save you? Do you know why people are turning on Trump? Because they actually thought the QAnon conspiracy that he was Superman and was going to save us and arrest people and all this stuff was real. Because you put this person up in a pedestal, all of a sudden, when they don't fulfill that dream, that imagination that you had, then they suddenly become the bad person. It's like the girl Morgan that I was talking about earlier. Well, DeSantis didn't push Warp Speed. He did. He did. He's not going to push work because he wasn't president. It wasn't his job to create a solution to the pandemic. It was Trump's job. Well, when it came down to shutting down the border, to putting border patrol and not letting people into Florida, when it came down to it's the old people that get the shots first, when it came down to pushing the vaccines, when it came down to closing down the bars, masking people, all that happened here. We don't have to go through this again. We lived here. We lived here. Bars were closed. There was restrictions. There was masking. All that happened. And all of that was going on at the county level. A lot of it was going on at the county level. It wasn't until literally 2021 and all the way to last year that we started becoming a freer
which is
county.
Also, and it's also not a knock. Like, we're not, it's, I'm sure that it comes off that way as if though it's a knock on DeSantis. No, I think he's a good governor. I think that he's done good. However, we see the narrative being built to prop up DeSantis as some kind of savior for freedom, while at the same time shitting on Trump as if, we got to move on for him because Trump didn't stand for freedom. And it's like, nah, bro, like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to make pretend that this guy's out there doing super base things because he made a shit tier meme of don't threat on me with a gas stove on it. Like, this isn't the win that people are now trying to pass it off as.
But here's the thing, too. With the whole situation that we have forgotten about how great our life was when Trump was president, when gas was down, when prices went down, when everything was going on. I don't remember anybody complaining about stuff. Florida is not the freest state that you think that it is. Our court system is extremely messed up. There's still red flag laws where they can literally take away your guns if, you know, your wife somehow convinces the court that you're a menace to society and you're going to kill her. They'll literally come and take your guns away. Completely against the Constitution. That is still happening here in Florida. We're not some sort of like the freest state in the country. You're not the freest state in the country if there's red flag laws.
Right. It's just not something celebrate.
Start off with the red flag laws. Remove the red flag laws and we can talk about being the freest state in the country. Now, we just heard that Lisa Marie Presley has died.
Has passed away.
Has passed. Cardiac I confirmed arrest. It. I just went on Google and it's true. She passed away from cardiac arrest. Obviously, there is...
You got to be careful talking about this topic. Right.
Well, we're not going to...
Go too much into it.
We're not going to blame what everybody else is blaming for, but I think that we see a pattern.
Well, I think it's logical to ask the question, right? Like, we are seeing that we're in times where when you hear, like, oh, someone's, like, having to deal with cardiac arrest or heart failure, well, did they get it?
Right.
That's kind of where we're at, and it's unfortunate. And on that same token, you know, we want to pay our respect to Diamond from Diamond and Silk.
Oh, yeah.
That also passed away this week. I had an ongoing joke with Linda since before we started the podcast that my goals were that we were going to be the Latinas Diamond and Silk.
Yeah, that's really sad. It's actually very sad.
It's incredibly sad. I can't imagine being in that situation. So our hearts definitely go out to Silk and all of Diamond and Silk's fans and all of the work that they did and all the positive that they brought into the movement for such a long time. They were
true patriots. Really
true patriots and a true joy. They were so cute. And it's just, it's really sad news.
And, you know, it was unfortunate that the minute that they passed away, there was conspiracies of both the right and left. You have the right wing blaming Trump, the new anti-Trump Republicans, pro-DeSantis, who said that she passed away because of the, you know what. And then you had the left say that she passed away from COVID, that, you know, it was because she didn't take the shot that she passed away. I think I saw Silk actually threatening to sue a couple people, saying that they had 12 hours until, I saw her yesterday, they had 12 hours to resent their allegations.
I'm letting you know right now, my dog, I'd be fighting like that for you.
Oh, I'd be fighting like that for you.
I'd be fighting like that for you. Like, you're not going to take
everybody to court, dude. I would be taking everybody to court. For real. We would be taking every. Also, I don't know if we said this, but Adam, thank you so much for your super chat. We really, really appreciate that you're here every weekend. By the way, I went to.
Can't stay long, have an early get up. As always, you two are complete fire. Happy to support. Adam's really such a loyal follower, and we appreciate it so much, you guys. Like we said in our last episode, starting in 2023, Mostly Peaceful Latinas is really kind of, we want to turn this into our full-time gig. So we strongly depend on your contributions to our channel. You know, if a super chat is not feasible, that's okay. A like and a comment and engagement during this live goes a very long way.
Absolutely. Wait. Something about, Adam, I went to my P.O. box this week and I guess whatever you sent was sent back. I'm so sorry about that. Like, he sent us a package and I went to pick it up on Monday. And then they were like, oh, we sent it back. It was like too big to hold or something like that. So I'm just letting you know that I did try to go get it, but they had sent it back. So I'm very sorry. If you want to send it again, just let me know. And I would, I mean, you did let me know, but like, I just never go to my PO box anymore. It's crazy. But I would literally put it on my schedule if you send it again. I'm so sorry about that. But look, in terms of the, we don't know what happened to Lisa Marie Presley. Let's assume that it is that. I do think that we have to have some nuance here, because it's kind of like the autism situation.
Right.
Right? Like, not every single person that gets this particular medicine becomes autistic. Right? There's usually, like, some predisposed, what is it called? Some sort of like gene or
something. Like,
right, right. So I don't know how it is that it affects some people more than others, that it could potentially, like, you know, further hurt the body, whatever you may have, to get it to that point. I'm not saying it's not it. I'm not saying it is. But this is a problem with this specific medicine. And something that I used to talk about before, mass censorship, when I first started building my account on this topic, is that you just don't know. You don't know. You don't know what happens.
It's a Russian roulette.
It's a Russian roulette. You don't know if you're going to get diabetes in 10 years. You don't know if you're going to get cancer. You don't know if you're going to get asthma. You don't know if you're going to get eczema. There's so many things that could be a side effect of that particular medicine. And it's not really traceable. Like, it's very hard to trace. Even when they say there is long-term studies, okay, show me the first long-term study where they evaluated a human for 80 years with all the medication that we get now. There's none. There's zero. They're not going to have a baby. Like, think about this, right? You need to guess 18 of this mm-hmm. pharma juice before the age of one. Because at 2 months, you get six. At 4 months, you get six. At 6 months, you get six. Then at 9 months, then at 12 months. Add it all up, it's like 18, right? Let's say that your parents decide to do less, it's like 12. Now, your second year, you get more. You get all this stuff all the way to like you're 18 years old. And if you get the yearly flu shot, then add that onto the schedule. Now, show me, where is there a human that they have been studying for his entire life to see what is the outcome of that schedule?
Right, you basically
it doesn't exist.
Right,
you would literally have to hold a human in a lab for that many years for you to know what's going to happen to you in 10 years, in 15 years, in 30 years if you get all of this pharma juice from the age of one to the age of 18.
I mean, I think that this comes into the side where, you know, we often talk about how this is a spiritual war, right?
Right.
And there's certain things that just, like, intuitively, I think that people, if they took a step back and just looked at some things that are kind of widely accepted as absolute truths, when you take a step back and you start analyzing them, you're like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right?
Right.
And I feel like shots are one of those things where you look at them and it's like, let's just look at the example that we have right now with this one shot and all of the problems that it's causing. Can you imagine the idea? Like, there's no shot that's different, that's tested different, that's gone through different studies than the next. It's right. They're all produced the same way.
Right.
So imagine, what are the chances that, like Linda just mentioned, 12 to 18 shots prior to the age of one, where you're probably most vulnerable? How do we know what the outcome of that potentially is? Like, doesn't common sense say that maybe that's not going to have a good outcome? Maybe the chances of something going wrong there is high.
Right.
Right. And I think that regardless of censorship or whatnot, I think that there does have to come a point where people just start using basic logic to counter and refute these widely accepted things as facts because the experts said it was so. Well, if there's anything that the last 3 years has exposed, it's that the experts very often than not don't know what the hell it is that they're talking about, or they know exactly what they're talking about and they're financially motivated to talk about the things that they do. So I think that the one thing that has come out of this, and I hate to be redundant with it, but it is important to state that never, ever, ever in the history since the inception of the first shot has the conversation around the safety, effectiveness,
right,
of the of this standard of living that we've all societally created, never before has it been more questioned, has it been, right, more challenged, has it been under a higher, you know, a bigger microscope. And that does count for something. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like everything that we're seeing right now is such a wake-up call to, like, the average person when you start putting things together and you're like, wait a minute, Justin Bieber's young, he was healthy. Hailey Bieber's young, she was healthy.
Oh my God, that's right.
The football Beavers, players, the, you know, that are dropping these soccer players, they're, right, healthy. And wondering, like, what's happening?
But because it's like I said this week in my rant, I'm like, SIDS, what about SIDS? SIDS have been a thing for 30 years now. They have completely normalized a 6-month-old just dying of crib death. That's what they call it. Your baby goes to sleep. It was perfectly healthy. When you put your child to sleep, baby was breathing, baby didn't have a cold, nothing was happening to the child, does not wake up. That is a problem. And then the paramedics come and tell you, sorry, we can't really find out why your child died. We just call it SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And that's it. You now have a dead child that you have to bury at 6 months old, 9 months old, is usually at 6 months, yeah, anywhere from like 2 to 6 months. And
now we're seeing it in adults. Now all of a sudden, a sudden adult death syndrome is now an actual thing that we, right, had never dealt with before in the past. So it's just kind of to give you an idea. I wasn't necessarily too involved with the Freedom Keeper movement, but I ran in circles that were, and I saw these advocates like truly fight for, you know, moms with dead kids and really truly
injured. Like,
and
really
the most important
stuff.
Part is that people don't realize is that this is a war that has been going on for the last, what, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the opposition, if you will, the fight has never been get rid of all the shots always and forever. And I never want to hear anybody talk about them. That, right, has never been the fight.
No, because there's always going to be people. It's just like birth, right, control. Like, you're not going to get rid of birth control. Like, there's still people that are going to want to take. I don't take birth control. I haven't in years. I won't touch it. But what are we going to do? Like, ban birth control because it's bad for women? I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, we would ban a lot of things, right? But that's not what America is about. I did want to say, wait, Hablando Como Los Locos. Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us. We haven't seen you here in a bit. ¿Cómo están?
Oh, I love them. These are our girls. Thank you so much. They're the best. So the girls, I had an episode on Hablando Como Los Locos, and it was the greatest episode ever because I red-pilled the girls at Hablando Como Los Locos. They weren't, yeah, red-pilled. So when they started following my original content, and then when we started advocating for local involvement, they started getting involved. And when we said run for local office, and Maylene ran for local, yeah, office, and it's like they're just – if you're a Spanish speaker and you have, if not yourself or maybe your parents or someone are looking for like content in Spanish, they do have a night, I want to say that they go live a couple of times a week. They have a great podcast. So please feel free to check out our friends at Hablando Como Los Locos.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the files, the Corvette.
Corvette Gate.
Corvette Gate. I honestly don't understand how, especially Democrat voters, I saw on social media, on, mm-hmm, Twitter. I went to spy and see what Democrat voters were saying in terms of the, what is it?
Corvette Gate.
And they have all these excuses for Joe Biden. It's completely different than Trump. You know, right, it's completely different than Trump. And why, you know, it's okay for him to have these files in his garage for some reason and a lot of stuff. But it's not the same as Trump because obviously Trump is a criminal. Joe Biden's not. And so that is what I saw from Twitter today.
So I'm going to put my little conspiracy theorist hat on, if you will. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably with everything that's happening right now, with the fact that the documents are found, for those of you that are unaware, Joe Biden was caught in possession of classified documents from his run as VP, from when he was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that unlike Trump, who was president and did have access to these documents, Joe Biden should have never had access to these documents. So forget that they were under lock and key, or if they weren't, or if they were properly, he just should have never had access to these documents. And nonetheless, yes, he did, right? But had it not been for the Mar-a-Lago raid, right? Mm-hmm. And the last couple of months of hoopla that we've been dealing with from the left of, you know, how Trump needs to be held accountable and he must be held responsible over having these documents and he can't have that and it's a threat to national security. Would the average person really have understood that it's a big deal to keep classified documents that should have been in the National Archives? Probably not. It would have probably been one of those things that would have just been brushed off. But because they've been so loud about Trump, then now they have to do their song and their dance and like twist things 3,000 times for it to make any sense that they would defend that Joe Biden would have in his possession mm-hmm. these documents, right? So, and this is where I go back to like my conspiracy theory hat. So on the day of the Mar-a-Lago raid, this post, so Truth Social has an Instagram account. And on the day of the Mar-a-Lago, Truth Social posted this. So I want to show you guys. I don't know if you guys can see it there. Or can I pull it up to this camera? Can I pull it up to this camera? Boom. Okay. All right. So I don't know if you guys can see that, but this was a post on Truth Social. And on the post, the night of Mar-a-Lago, there's an open safe and then there's a chess pawn within the safe. And I thought that was so like, almost like, was this a chess move? Now, fast forward, how many months later? This was what, in September of last year? So now we're talking almost 6 months later. And now this very well-documented, publicly exaggerated situation at Mar-a-Lago is now what is being said as the baseline to even bring this up when it comes to Joe Biden, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought that this one post from Truth Social on Instagram was incredibly interesting for me as far as perspective, because the conspiracy, and I try to be really rational and pragmatic. Like, Linda doesn't necessarily mess with any of the conspiracy theories. I tend to be a little more conspirational-minded. But I always try and be very pragmatic with it. And there is a certain sense that a lot of the attacks that Donald Trump has had to endure, whether we're talking about the raid, whether we're talking about, you know, how they've gone after like his friends and political advisors or whatnot. I think that when you realize that a president is being set, it almost gets me wondering, like, shoot, like, can things be happening to Trump in an effort, like, these things are now being normalized and all of these crazy ideas and hopes that maybe some people had of, like, you know, we're going to raid Hillary Clinton or we're going to raid a former president. Before was like, oh, we can't raid a former president. That's never happened before. There's no precedent for that. Yeah. Now the president is set. So now things like that can actually take place. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I know I sound a little cute-hearted. I get it. Y'all know where I stand on that. But it's just so many things have happened to kind of like normalize these things that would have otherwise never been normalized to ask myself.
Right. So you may not be wrong in terms of the Joe Biden, like what you were just saying right now. There's a Trump advisor. I don't know if you guys remember Stephen Miller, great guy. He tweeted that he kind of insinuated that them letting us find the boxes there, it was kind of like he didn't say set up. He didn't say it that way, but he said there's more than meets the eye. If the press and the White House, we live under an occupation, we know that, and they control the media, so why would they let this get out? You understand? So that was kind of his position on the whole thing. We're not talking about a crazy conspiracy theorist. We're talking about Stephen Miller, who's a very balanced, straight edge, non-conspiratorial guy at all. Does not mess with that. And even he is kind of questioning the narrative per se. I see my boy Joe. Shout out to Joe right now. Papi Joe, how are you?
Wait, I love
you.
Hold on a second. What's going on here?
He gave us a super chat.
Hold on. I think our producer just passed out on his chair preguntando, ¿qué es esto?
That's my boy Joe, man. He's we've been friends for a very long time. He supports us. He listens to the podcast. If you guys need a Rolex, you got to go get a Rolex from Joe Reyna in Dayland Mall. In Miami, he's gonna take care of you.
You got people raising eyebrows in the chat and everything.
Also, and David Berg.
David, thank you so much. Thanks for all you do. First ones to accurately talk about Franco in Spain. Smart, well-researched women right here. Thank you. We're also very hated because of it, you know, because that's what happens when you speak truth. But that's where we're at. I'm looking that's at everyone's like, hey, Joe. Yeah, look where you started, Linda.
I'm sorry. That's my boy. He's the best. We call him Papi Joe. That's, like, that's his nickname since we were like, what? I've known Joe since we were what? Like in high school? So imagine.
Look, here's the thing. I think that Trump is just so smart, and I really do believe in the 5D chess of it. And I know that sometimes, like, you know, the Q conspiracies can get so completely out of control that it's almost like, for rational thinkers, like, you kind of want to, like, completely separate yourself from it. It's like, this is just too insane at this point. It's completely lost its control. But, you know, I'm currently reading 5G Warfare, the book by General Flynn. And the truth of the matter is that we are living in a time of information warfare.
We are.
And the optics are incredibly important. And the media heavily uses optics to their advantage. And I think that one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they're discussing these theories is that they act like there's no war being fought. Like, oh, everything we already won. And like, that's it. We're not going to see bad things happen. And the truth is that we are fighting an informational war. So, there's going to be good guys with moves, bad guys with counter moves, and vice versa.
You know what's funny? I was reading that apparently the host from The View said that it was probably Republicans who planted the documents in Joe Biden's house.
I actually watched the clip, and that was actually one of the things where I feel like the timeline is accelerating, and like other things that maybe just outlandish things that we would have never expected before to happen. So the girls on The View, while Whoopi Goldberg is talking, they bring up like, one of the girls brings up like, do you think that it was the Republican setup? And what she actually says is, at first I thought that it could be because they were talking about translating documents or what, transporting documents or whatnot. And I thought, but no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then she goes off on a rant about how, you know, like, how are we going to go in on Trump and go all these times? And then he's going to be so dumb as he's that he's going to have these documents. Like, whoa, somebody on The View has like the slightest bit of common sense to be able to say that there's a sense of hypocrisy on what's going on here. Like, if that's not the acceleration of the timeline, I don't know what is. It's like The View's probably the last place where you would imagine that somebody would be level headed enough to look at things and be like, hey, you know what? You're right. It's possible. Maybe this is wrong, too, that Joe Biden is set up like
this. Of course not. Here's a crazy story for the culture war that I just came across a few minutes ago, which is that the president of, or the CEO of the Bumblebee, is that what it's called? The funny page? What is it called, guys? The
Babylon Bee.
The Babylon Bee. He asked an AI generator to write this is what he asked the AI generator. Write a story about why drag queen story hour is bad for children. And this is what AI had to say. It would be inappropriate and harmful for me to write a story that promotes the idea that drag queen story hour is bad for children. Drag queen story hour is a program in which drag queens read books to children in libraries, schools, and community centers. It aims to promote literacy, diversity, and self-expression, has been shown to have positive effects on children.
Oh, that's the AI software.
This is AI software. Tell me that we're not living in a simulation and that
you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And my
Here's my biggest problem with the entire drag queen story hour, the parents, right? Because sure, drag queens are really an LGBT culture. It's always been known to be part of the gay culture, and they enjoy it, and straight and gays enjoy it together, and it's usually an adult show. So I have to wonder to myself, we're attacking these events, or we're not, but people are attacking these events, you know, trying to shut them down and whatnot. But what about the parents? What about the parents that willingly take the kids to that show? Because, well, I guess some of them are marketing it to children.
Yeah, they're marketing to children, too. I think that, you know, when we start talking about the parents, what's the name of that one condition where parents make their kids sick for attention?
I don't know.
Someone in the chat, help me out. What's the disease where parents... All right.
I don't know what it is, but in the meantime, Melissa, thank you so much for your super chat. It says, keep an eye on water quality issues now that abortion pills are more readily available. All those hormones and human remains could end up on the drinking water. She is 100% correct. What?
No, we found the name of what it is, and we don't know how to pronounce it. Munchausen?
That sounds like a German word.
It does sound German.
It's like Munchausen, a German word.
Munchausen by proxy syndrome, which is where parents will make their kids sick in order to, because they like the attention that they get from having a sick child, mm-hmm. where you're gaining all this sympathy and all this attention and all this help, and we're so sorry,
it is German,
and you're such a hero, and all these other things. This is an extension of that for me, because you can, so often you'll see like the parents that are like trying to turn their kids into like child drag queens.
Yeah.
You look at
The trans kids as well. A lot of the parents are like, say you're trans, like say you're trans. And the kid's like, I'm a girl, mom. I love dolls, mom. So, I totally see it. I did see a case from a parent, but I don't think he was in this country, where he changed his sex, like legally changed his sex. I think it was in Ecuador or something. So he could get custody of his kid because the laws are obviously against men, and we know that, we've seen that firsthand. And so he changed his biological sex. Obviously, he legally changed it. He didn't
change his physical appearance. Just so that he could.
But it doesn't matter, because you can identify as whatever you want.
Right.
So once he did that and became Isabella Rodriguez, then he was fighting now for custody of his child. It's like
because
a thing.
It's a real thing.
He's
going to get more rights in the court system. Talk about playing the woke system.
It's a real thing.
Guys, we're halfway through. Please share, like this video, comment in the chat. Please don't forget to subscribe. We highly depend on you guys supporting us to grow our channel. You can interact with us through the super chats, but check and also turn on your notifications so that you don't miss when we go live.
Oh, you know what would be great? We're going to start having guests. We haven't had a guest in a while. We have a few lined up that we got to like solidify and schedule.
We're on for 3 p.m.
That's right.
Yeah, tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Oh, tell them.
Yeah. So we are tomorrow, what's probably not going to be live. We're probably going to have to upload it probably early on, probably over the weekend. We're going to be uploading it. But just so that you guys know, we have a reporter that we're going to be talking to tomorrow. That's on the ground in Brazil. His name is Paul Saran. If you guys are not following Paul, once the podcast is done, I'll link his profile on my Telegram. But Paul has been following the situation in Brazil heavily. For those of you that are unaware, January 8th, there was a protest that took place in Brazil against the results of...
You can't talk about the...
Right.
Any...
Well, but you guys know we're not going to have it here. That will not be a podcast that we're going to post on YouTube. You are going to have to go into our Rumble channel to check that out. But we will be posting it on the Mostly Peaceful Latina Instagram page and on our Telegram and Truth channel. So check us out there. But we are going to have a very... What I expect to be a really riveting interview tomorrow with a journalist in Brazil on the ground to kind of give us his hot takes on what exactly is going on.
Also,
right now,
something else that we didn't talk about real quick is that this week the military, the Pentagon, did drop the vaccine mandate for troops. And now we heard from Ana Paulina, newly elected Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, that they're going to try to get them reinstated as well. So that's like, I guess, one of the first things as a Congresswoman that she's going to try to pass in the House and that she's part of it. And so we will see if that happens. I do know that it's going to be quite difficult for any bills to pass when you have a locked Senate and the White House. I don't know how Democrats are going to allow.
Well, because you gotta have a high level of awareness right now, because there's a lot of things that Republicans are doing for the gloat of it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're going to do these really base things, knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. Like this new, what was just passed, that they're going to abolish income tax.
Right.
Taxation is theft, so I'm on board, but that's not going to go anywhere. So... You know, you got to kind of keep your ears peeled for your eyes peeled for, like, is this real? Is this all optics? Right. We're walking into an election, into an election cycle. So just kind of have that level of awareness where, we have power of the House right now, but it doesn't supersede power of the Senate, and we don't have any control in the Senate.
Absolutely.
So.
Veronica, I love that idea. Y'all shall have callers too, so we can share stories of things that have happened with either the juice or their topics. I should do that. You know what? That, there's a few TikTokers that I've seen that have calls, and it's hilarious. Like, the stories, the anonymous stories. What? We do now? I mean, we won't do it today. Because we got to, like, finish kind of, like, soonish.
Why are you going to do that to us now? Veronica, you want to call it now? Angel says it's a game. We can do that.
Yeah. No, we can. We're going to do that. Veronica, you're on to something. We're going to do it. We're going to have callers. And you guys come. Maybe life advice. We don't have a lot of advice in life. Maybe we do.
Why? I want to give life advice. Why
I'm kidding,
not?
I'm kidding. But we do. Hey,
no,
by
the
way,
real life advice comes from Linda's nail lady. So I want to start a whole segment dedicated. Where instead of Dear Abby, we write to Linda's nail lady and we just
Dear
ask
Jackie.
You guys to send it.
Dear Jackie.
Send, you guys send in your relationship questions, things that are maybe just, you know, to get away from the norm of just politics.
Right. Like,
and we're going to have Yaki, the nail lady, give life advice. And she's pretty based with no filter. So.
Yeah.
But those are fun things we have planned for the upcoming year. So help us out. Super chats, like,
there share. Is something else that I was going to talk about. So a lot of people have been asking, maybe not on this chat, but last week there was a few people and also I've gotten DMs like, where's Kanye? Where's Kanye? We finally have sighting of Kanye West. He was seen with a new girl, a blonde, in Hollywood today, dining with her. She is a Yeezy model. We don't know her name yet, but he has been very happy, smiling Kanye, or Ye, sorry, I don't want to dead name him. Yeah. He doesn't like it. He also doesn't want to be called Yeezy anymore, or Yeezus, because it's like too close to the Jesus name, and so Christians don't like it, so he's going just by Ye. By the way, I just found that out. And so, I don't know if you guys saw my story today, but I was actually talking about a little bit about Kanye. Last week, UFC, or New Year's Eve, or day, the president of UFC, Dana White, was caught hitting his wife. To be fair, she hit him first, okay? Clearly, you could tell they were drunk. They were at a club. Stuff happens. Now we know that the law is against men, and I don't say this because I think it's good. I think it's actually really bad that the system is against you guys. I think that's terrible.
It is.
It's really bad. I think that. But if you went to a judge and your wife wanted to screw you over, you're not going to be like, well, she hit me first. I mean, maybe you could get away with it, but I doubt that. With that being said, I think it's the controversy right now is that the top dog of the UFC, so the agency that owns UFC, which is Ari Emanuel, the most powerful man in Hollywood, the one that represents the Kardashians, was representing Kanye West. I mean, he literally has everybody under his umbrella.
Isn't the show, Jeremy Piven's character on Entourage based after him?
I don't know. I never watched Entourage. It's one of those shows that I want to watch, actually. But the point is that Ari Emanuel has been extremely silent over this controversy. There are people that want Dana White to resign. I wouldn't go that far. But what I was trying to point out today in my story is how unfair things were for Kanye when he mentioned the group that obviously you're not supposed to mention. And then you have somebody like hit his wife, you know, get caught. He's the president of the UFC, and Ari Emanuel is completely silenced on this situation, doesn't say anything.
Well, because that's the standard PR thing. When your client does something that's completely outlandish and crazy, ignore it until it goes away.
Exactly. So he's completely ignoring the whole situation. People are super upset saying, hey, like, you literally ruined Kanye's life. You're the reason why Adidas, Balenciaga, everyone had to drop him. The reason why Chase Bank was going after him, other banks, and even the IRS, because you're that powerful in Hollywood. You control everything. Somehow, some way, though, he's completely swept the story under the rug. There are very little outlets that are, like, pushing him to say something, at least a statement, even if he thinks it's wrong, you know, just come out and say, hey, it's wrong. People deserve a second chance. His wife hit him first. It would be actually more ideal if Ari Emanuel came out and said, his wife hit him first. We're going to forgive this and go on.
Right.
But it's a double standard. Kanye West calls out powerful people in Hollywood.
I want to send everybody right back to the Dave Chappelle SNL skit.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it best. You know, there's just certain things you cannot talk about. Mm. So, yeah, no, there's absolutely a hypocrisy, but there usually is. I mean,
right.
You can have you can have a client basically come back from anything. Like, you can get caught, like, cheating on your wife with, like, a goat and, like, you were running a new movie and then you were running a Ponzi scheme with, like, and you'd still get much more fair treatment than Ye got for his tweets.
Yeah.
And absolutely. His, you know, his controversial thoughts as well.
Stacey Villardet, $50. Thank you so
much. Thank you so much for the continued support.
You're the best. Thank you. We truly appreciate it. By the way, with the super chats, we do pay for studio. We've told you guys before. You can see Angel. He's over there. He's the one that's handling everything in the studio. And we're happy to support him. And so with your support really paying for our studio time. Yeah. That's really what it is. And Angel as well. So guys, we are ending the show now. It's been about 53 minutes.
Well, let's take some questions.
Or anything else that you guys suggest.
Questions or topics that you guys want to talk about. Shakira has a new song out. BK and his new girlfriend. So, you know.
Yes.
How long were they together for?
10 years.
10 years. And they never got married.
They didn't?
I don't think they were ever legally married.
Shit.
Well, I mean.
So if you guys don't know.
La abuela. No one's going to buy the milk.
If you guys don't know, Shakira was married to Piqué. He was a soccer player over in Real Madrid and, you know, won the World Cup in Spain with Spain in 2010. That whole thing. He was 10 years younger than her as well. They have two kids together. Ends up being that he was cheating on her with a younger girl, about 22 years old, Clara Chia. She happened to be like his publicist or part of like the publicist team or something. At first, when the rumors came out that they were separating and whatnot, basically was like, oh, he has a new girlfriend. Like everyone's like, okay, like he moved on fairly quickly. It ends up being that there is a video that he got caught with her in their home in 2021. People didn't notice, but he was doing a live, right? In home, in his kitchen. And the girl is walking in the back and you see her on the side. So users brought it up because you know the internet, you know how they are. So I guess someone went back and was like rewatching to see what they could find. And they found that back in 2021, when they were still together and he was still living in her house in Madrid, he was bringing the girl over. So he cheated on her. And,
¿qué clase de falsa de respeto, caballero?
Wow.
Strong. But you know what? Look, somebody in the chat just said that she didn't want to get married. What the hell are you doing? You don't want to get married? You got kids with this guy? Like, this is part of the feminism, anti-traditional culture where, oh, I don't need a piece of paper. Fuck that. Like, it's not just about the piece of paper. I wonder if it's
because she's way more rich than he is.
Well, get a prenup.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I don't know if that's the reason.
It probably sounds like a lot more of like the, you know, my independence and I don't want to lose myself and get married and I don't need the paper. It's like, it's... Then you bastardize what marriage is supposed to be because there's no, it's not taking it serious. It's not, there's not a real, at some point, marriage changes that, you know? It's like, you can't just walk away from a relationship when you're married. And I can't imagine that. I guess I'm a little bit more traditional when it comes to that. Like, you've got kids, you're doing the whole thing. Like, why would you make it a point to stand on some high, that there's some kind of moral high ground and not get married? It just seems
weird. It's weird. Somebody else said, what is the argument for Trump or DeSantis?
Bro, the Trump is a goat.
For me, it's simple. I'll give my take first, and I guess you can give yours. For me, it's very simple. When I voted or when I started supporting Trump back in 2017.
I'm sorry, Annabella just answered what it was and I'm dying. Yeah, she said in an interview that being the girlfriend makes him work for harder than a boring marriage. Well, take the L, Shakira. There you go. For real. That's where your logic got
you. For real. That's retarded.
And I bet you anything he's going to be married to whatever chick he starts. Maybe not this chick. Whatever chick it is, he'll be married in two, three years.
He's super in love with her. They're like really, really in love.
He'll be
like,
married.
Like he doesn't care about PDA. Like brings her to the games. Like he doesn't care. Okay, for me, it's really simple. When I look at Trump and DeSantis, or in terms of policy, I saw what Trump did with America in the 4 years that we had him, or three, whatever years we had him, in terms of foreign policy, we had no wars. In terms of our economy, which obviously was the greatest economy we had ever seen, an economic miracle. In terms of border security, the things that matter, I would say like five or six main points when it comes down to Trump. We've said it before, we were independents that voted for Trump. Okay, we were also Democrats at one point. So he was able to bring in, even though they're lying now and saying, oh, he'll never be able to bring in the moderates, he can't bring in the Democrats, he got people like us and many other people that I know, people on this chat that have come here before, they weren't supporting of the Republican Party, but they started supporting the Republican Party, or not really the Republican Party, they started supporting the Trump agenda, right? The America First agenda. Strong on China, strong with Russia, no wars, like he had the dude in North Korea, like completely in a corner, everything that he did. And so the patriotism, like I remember so many people, you know, the 4th of July stuff, even though that's not policy, but, you know, in terms of like being in America and loving America, America's great, all that stuff. When it comes to DeSantis, his shiny moment really came through the pandemic. You know, before and that,
it
he
really
was a very
came from adopting MAGA policies,
right? And but it was really the
taking
pandemic,
the Trump agenda,
right,
and applying it in a post-Trump world when uh-huh. Trump was no longer here because mm-hmm. of the occupation. Like,
right.
That's where he shines at. And you know what's my take on it? I watch a lot of these like street interviews.
Oh my God! Yes, and, I know what you're gonna say. Go
you know,
ahead.
Like you'll see, like the all of like the minorities. We even have interviews with like members of the LGBT community or whatnot, and they're like, "Man, bring our man Trump back.
Yeah.
Bring that man back. Bring back Donnie." And I'm gonna tell you why it is.
Like the ghettoists, the ghettoists, hood rats on South right. Beach. Like hood rats
that would have never in a million years assumed yeah. that they would vote Republican because they're not. And here's where I'm going with this: these people spent the 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency where every single thing was blamed on him. Mm. Everything that went wrong was blamed on him. They never gave him credit for the good things, but everything else was blamed on him. And I think that 4 years of strong media coverage of putting all the responsibility of literally everything that happened in this country on Donald Trump has now gotten to a point where it's backfired. Because remember, guys, if you're watching this, yeah. chances are that you're part of the echo chamber that we exist in. The rest of the world does not care about these things. They don't talk about politics every mm-hmm. day. They're not, you know, involved in who the primaries are. They're not going to give a crap about elections until after primaries take place. And these people were programmed for the last 4 years to kind of look at Trump as a person responsible for everything that occurred during those 4 years. Now, fast forward to where it is that we're at right now, going on. What is this, the third year going right. on the third year of Biden presidency, they're looking at everything that's wrong now and they're attaching right. like, shoot, when Trump was in charge, this wasn't happening. So what they're doing is that they're associating the lower gas. They're associating their better bank accounts. They're associating their better opportunities and better times with a Donald Trump presidency. You guys don't get... Watch those interviews and watch them carefully. Those man in the street interviews where people are like, oh, I didn't vote for Trump.
Chaney Rich, go to Chaney Rich's page and
check it out. They're like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump and Trump needs to come back. Why? Because now everything that's wrong, they're associating it with the bad decision that they made when they went out to vote. So when you're watching these people, you need to understand when they go out to vote, they're not going to be voting for a Republican over a Democrat. Mm-hmm. That's not what they care about. They're going to go out there and vote for Donald Trump because they associate that this better golden timeline in history was attached to him. You think these people know who Ron DeSantis is? I can tell you they don't know because don't. we've done man on the street interviews and we ask, they have no idea who he is. Trump or Ron DeSantis, and they're like, who?
Yeah. A lot of people, you'll be surprised, like the echo chamber, the majority of this pro DeSantis hype or whatever is coming mostly from Twitter, from the same pundits that Christina Pusha has recruited to be under his belt for the 2024 show, whatever you want to call it, election. And so when you are in an echo chamber of online pundits and influencers just pushing for one person, you think that that represents the 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump, maybe 30%. I mean, I don't know. We don't have... The polling that is done online or whatever, it's very limited. 1,000 people that they can poll, that's not 75 million people. So we don't necessarily know the entire temperature of where the country stands. But what we do know is that if you go do street interviews, like Florida, Miami, everybody knows who Ron DeSantis is. Everyone knows who Ron DeSantis is. If they vote, if they're Republicans and they vote. Now, these people that are not into politics, people that do not care, they don't even know who their commissioner is. They don't even know who their mayor is. They don't even know when the next mayor is going to come.
They might not even know who the vice president
is. They have no idea who it is. These people only associate a better economy with Trump, a better time with Trump. Go on TikTok. You know how many black TikTokers I've seen with this talk?
Yeah.
I'll bring back Trump. Trump was about the money. We were getting the checks when Trump was around. Go see people that are outside of this conservative sphere, whether it's on TikTok or on the street or whatever else, and you'll see that it's not what they tell you. It's the same thing when you go anywhere else. If you go to South America, I just came back from Colombia. For the people over there that are actually very, the ones that are pro-Trump or like Trump, they don't really know what DeSantis is. Like, not that they can vote or it matters.
And they wouldn't vote what Republican.
A Colombian says or what a Peruvian. But they don't know, and they're not fascinated by anything that DeSantis has done because he's just simply not at that level. But remember, guys, a lot of the narratives that we see online, whether it's right or left or middle, it doesn't matter which party, which side of the spectrum is, these are created narratives. Is why the reason why I've told you guys about TikTok. They don't like me to say that. I've gotten a lot of pushback when I say, you know, TikTok is not as bad or it's not that much of a danger, much more or greater danger than something like Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. They don't like it when I say that because it was an app created by the Chinese. So I understand the skepticism around it. I understand why the government wouldn't want it on their phones. I get all that. I'm with it. However, the reality is that the TikTok narrative of how bad it is, how much worse it is for children, it was created by an agency. A PR agency.
And a campaign paid for by Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The competition. Mm-hmm. So you got to wonder, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure all of these things about privacy violations and yeah, but what the hell makes TikTok any different than Facebook?
Nothing.
Or any different than Instagram or any of the other platforms. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. There is a PR campaign that was ran to kind of
victory. So the way they got caught was because this PR agency called Victory something. The leaked emails between Facebook officials and the PR agency basically specify, like, this is what we need you to do. Like, we're losing, if you guys didn't know, Meta, who's a parent company of Facebook and Instagram, they're losing billions of dollars. Billions of, not millions, they've lost billions of dollars. They've had to do massive layoffs. They have to cut back. They're not getting their ad revenue. So all of this is impacting them heavily because you have a much smarter, better, faster app, which is TikTok, which can replace both Facebook and Instagram. As a result, you can't just let your company go to shit. So what do? Whatever's legal and can get the other company can create a bad perception of that company in the public's eyes, which is blame it on China, say that it's a national security. And of course, whenever you do a campaign, you guys got to understand that they target people. Like, they're not just saying, do this campaign so that everybody in the U.S. thinks TikTok is bad. They're very specific.
Who are they targeting?
They're targeting conservatives because they know how hypersensitive and obsessed and paranoid conservatives are over Russia and China.
And the target was so specific that this specific PR company that Facebook is using to launch this slander campaign against TikTok is actually a conservative known PR firm. So it's a PR firm that normally represents conservative politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Facebook be doing that, guys? Gotta think. They're weaponizing it. Again, I hate to sound redundant once again. If you haven't checked out the General's Book of 5G Warfare, it is so important to the times that we are living in. Because
I'm going to write it here. What is it? 5G?
The 5G Warfare, yeah. The Citizen's Guide to 5G Warfare is what it's called. You can get it on Amazon. You can get a signed copy by, I think, going directly to the General's site. But it's just, it's so key and imperative to what we're living in right now because they understand that it's an information war and how best to win the information war than to plant confusion. And these psyops that they run, a lot of the times will, you know, they'll even attack themselves as part of the campaigns in order to make it seem like it's fair or whatnot. But Yeah, that's
Robert Lee. Thank you so much for your contribution. He says Trump era fuerte con sus pólizas de migración. Sin embargo, los latinos como los cubanos, los mexicanos apoyaban a Trump. Un montón de fanáticos eran latinos. So basically what he's saying is that even though his policies on immigration were tough, or he was tough on immigration, nevertheless, he had a lot of Latino support, especially Cubans and Mexicans, and that there was a lot of, like, you know, Latin
fanatics.
Trump fanatics that are Latin, and that's 100% true. In fact, there was a video by the Young Turks, who are a left-wing media company, mm-hmm. and they went to the last Trump rally right before the midterm elections, like 2 days before the election that Sunday, the one that you went to, Bella, that it mm-hmm. got, you guys got rained on. In that rally, they had a street interview outside where they were asking Latino Trump supporters, would you vote for DeSantis? Would you vote for Trump? 9 out of 10 people, or maybe 10 out of 10, I think it was actually one guy that said he would consider voting for DeSantis.
I watched that interview younger. Happen live in
Every
front of me.
Every single one of them said that Trump needed to be president and that they would wait and that then they would vote for DeSantis. Every single one of those women, male, there was actually older Cubans, but younger people as well, middle-aged, everyone said we would vote for Trump. The thing is, with immigration, bad immigration policies affects everybody, including immigrants, right. You know, an open border is extremely dangerous to the people that live around the border. Guess how many Mexicans live around the border that are illegal on the American side? A lot of them. You know, if you have a ranch at the border and you have illegals crossing through your through
and you
your
left
property,
your country because of political violence, you don't want the same criminals.
I've seen videos
crossing over right. Which video are you talking about?
There's a video of a guy who owns a ranch in his property, and he's watching as illegals are coming through, and he's like,
and
one time
sneaking into the different
right,
properties.
And he's like, one time my grandchildren, this was a grandfather, my grandchildren were actually playing outside as I'm watching through the camera. I have to go out there. Imagine if this guy goes out there. Thank God it's Texas and maybe he's a little bit more protected. This guy goes out there and starts shooting these people because they're part of his property. And once you trespass private property, guess what? And you're in Texas. And then what becomes the narrative? You know, American kills immigrants because he hates them and they're brown, yeah. And blah, 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 blah. So it's a complicated topic. You know, obviously we
I don't think it's that complicated. I think the Latinos know better than anybody the damages
well, some
that
don't.
Come from having
some don't.
A destabilized. You know, when I was having this convo a couple of weeks ago, you're going to have two kinds of people that immigrants here, that immigrate to the United States of America. The people that glamorize being an American.
Right.
Their focus, their goals would be, man, if I could just live in the land of opportunity, if I could just live in the land of the free, and they go through any avenue that they have to go through to get here. They'll go to any meeting that they have to go to, do any interview that they have to go, pay any fee, go through any mission, mail paperwork, get copies, send them here, do that. And then you have people that are going to illegally cross the border. Right. And just like anything else in life, the people that illegally cross the border are being handed the great reward that is to be an American. So of course they don't know that level of appreciation. My parents had to escape communist Cuba, go live in Venezuela for almost 9 years, go through 9 years of paperwork and process to finally be let into this country. So of course when they come in, there's a very heightened sense of appreciation for being an American than somebody that just walks in through the border with a sense of entitlement, right. Not knowing what a gift that is because they're just walking in, could take for granted. Thank you so much, Irida TV. I appreciate the debate that you brought on with us, and thank you so much for the $50 contribution again, guys. We really would not be able to do this
She's
without
been following
you
me forever.
And we want to do you. A lot more of this. And Robert Lee again, vivo en Houston, ha sido una explosión de indocumentados en Texas. Hay muchos en la calle, algunos están recibiendo beneficios. So he's saying that there's been an explosion of undocumented immigrants in Texas now, that they're just kind of in the streets. They're homeless, which is the saddest part about it, because as a Latina, I don't want to see my people migrate to the land of opportunity to have to live in the streets. Right. I don't want to have to see them work the fields. I don't want to have to see my people, whether they're Cuban or from any other part of Latino America or the Caribbean, I don't want to have to see them settle for the bare minimum. And I've spoken about this before. In my real job, in my day-to-day, I'm a recruiter, which someday I hope to quit and be able to focus completely on this. And one of the saddest things that I deal with recruiting down here in Miami-Dade County is that so many times you come across scholars from other countries mm-hmm. that finally got here to the U.S., but they don't speak the language or they don't necessarily have the right paperwork. And when they ask you, what kind of job can I get? This is the experience that I have. You have to tell them, I don't have much. You can work right. in a factory or, you can get a janitor job. And there's nothing much. And I want more for immigrants that come into this country. And unfortunately, when you have a wide open door letting in people illegally without any kind of merit-based system or qualifiers, then undoubtedly what's happening is that you're setting up people to fail. And
well, what you just said right now, there's actually a TikTok trend where I forgot the song. It's actually really sad. And it's like the song that goes every day I wake up. Mm-hmm. That's like a happy song. And yeah. then it goes like it turns sour.
Yeah.
And basically it shows like the girl and it's like her in Venezuela. So she's getting like she's a vet. And so she gets her degree and she's like, oh, my God. And blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts into her washing dishes in here in Miami.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was
a trend. That's a trend. It's mostly Venezuelan. So they're like, you know, whatever, this is me, I'm a doctor in Venezuela. Then all of a sudden he's like cleaning cars in the US. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Like a lot of our family members had to eat shit and do a bunch of like, you know, these types of jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is, it actually, my aunt was a dentist in Colombia. She had her practice. She went to school for this. And when she came here, she couldn't get employed as a dentist. She didn't even have a certificate. No. Then she had to pay a bunch of money to not, there's a, I don't know what it's called, but basically you kind of like re-get your degree here. Like mm-hmm. you don't go through the whole
thing. Oh no, they charge a ton of money. So there's companies that do like the transferring of like, the credits.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
they transfer yes, your credits yes. into American some, and it costs a lot of money to do and it's not a simple thing. And I think that, you know, part of what it is I want people to have the same opportunities that any American has here. And in America, right. you can start at the bottom and work your way up. But if you don't have papers and if you don't care about speaking the language, you're always going to be at a disadvantage. So yeah. part of a responsible immigration system, particularly as a country that lets in most immigrants than any other place in the entire world, is that people should have a pathway to success. And part of that pathway is you need legal papers to get into this country because you need to be able to legally work so that people don't pay you slave wages and you don't become another asset of human trafficking, which, by the way, that's also human trafficking, guys. Mm-hmm. When you have people that feel like they have to pay off their debts because that's what happened, they pay their coyotes to bring them in over the border and they don't have the money to pay off those coyotes. Right. So they're like, guess what? Now you got to pay off your debt. And the debt is that you're going to have to do work that you're not going to want to do for as long as I say you have to do it. And it's just the entire idea that Democrats yeah. can say that Republicans don't care about immigrants while also encouraging that. Encouraging that
low wages
and encouraging people to cross the border. Do you have any idea how dangerous and how inhumane it is to encourage people to cross that border? That's dangerous.
1 in 3 women gets raped. That was a big thing. And I remember when Trump would talk about it, you guys remember his State of Unions, he would say, you know, 1 in 3 women are raped. Children are being sold to human trafficking. This is not a QAnon conspiracy theory. You know, there are children that are sold for $200 to an adult male so that he could come into the border faster and say, I'm claiming asylum with this child that I just literally purchased from a street vendor in Honduras. And so, you know, that's not humane. It doesn't matter how bad you feel for immigrants. It's just simply not humane. We're seeing what's going on in the Florida Keys as well, which is all these Cubans coming in. I feel bad for Cubans. I love Cubans, you know, but at the same time, it's like, Miami is super full. Our cost of living is insane. A one-bedroom apartment where I live is $3,000 in my area. Yeah. That's a mortgage in a badass house somewhere in Texas. You could probably get a five-bedroom house in Texas in a really nice area for $3,000. That's Miami now. And then look at the cost of living. You know, so there's a lot of things that there was another TikTok that I saw that was super sad. And it was a girl saying, You know, we just got paid, and after paying everything, you know, all our bills, blah, blah, blah. And we live, you know, she's like, I hate that everybody on this app looks so rich. You know, like there's so many people, and not just in this app, on social media, you know, saying that they have so much. She's like, my husband and I just got paid, and we literally have $150 to our name after we pay all of our bills.
And that's the reality of too many Americans.
And then wait, that video had I wouldn't say millions of views, but for sure hundreds of thousands of views and like a lot of likes. And then we went to the comments, and every single comment was like same. And people were like, I'm so tired of others saying, like, you need to live within my means. It's like, I do live within my means. Like, You can't tell me that I didn't live within my means. And all of a sudden, eggs are $8. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, if everything is costing more money, what do I do? Leave where I live and, like, break my, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that easy. But, yeah, guys.
Wow, that was, like, a sad note. But.
It's a great, I mean,
I think, I mean, it's you know, still a reality. It's just a reality of what it is. And I think that
we still live in a great country.
And it's very representative of the podcast, you know, which is that we want to give Latina voices.
I'll say one last thing, which is you guys seen how there's a lot of controversy around, not a lot, but there's controversy around Americans moving to Mexico City and the Mexicans are like pissed off because whatever reason. There's also a lot of Americans that live in Colombia, particularly in Medellin, because the cost of living is that much cheaper than here, and your dollars can go a lot longer than in America. And I don't blame them. Like, once I was in Colombia, and I was like, man, like, I don't blame them. Like, I want to move here. Imagine if you can live in a penthouse, like a badass penthouse with the best view of town, three bedrooms or four bedrooms, double floors, whatever, with even a jacuzzi for $2,000. Imagine if, like, there's so many of these videos where they're like, I live in Medellin and this is how much I spend a month, and it's like $3,000 and you live like a king.
Yeah, that's like, there's so many.
So if with $3,000 you can live like a king or queen, even if you slash that in half and you want to live like still upper class but not like balling, you could literally live in Colombia.
Well, there's
like
people that do that. They take their social security checks and they move somewhere else because it's gonna go that much further.
So I don't blame them. I totally see why they would go, but
we are gonna put out another interview soon. Like I said, we are gonna have Paul Saran on the show tomorrow. That probably won't go live until this weekend when we put it together. But it will be up on our Rumble channel. If you're not following us there, please, we're trying to get our follower count up. We are going to start doing dual streaming on Rumble and on YouTube, but we're going to leave our kind of, you know, not safe for general consumption on the main platform content on the Rumble channel. We've got Roger Stone's going to be coming onto the show probably in the next couple of weeks. We're really looking forward to that because we love Roger so much. And we got big, important things. And maybe next week we can have a little call-in. Oh, by the way, Linda and I are definitely discussing potentially changing the day. Maybe seeing
Wednesday,
what we can
do. What do you guys
think? Wednesday, Tuesdays. Let us know what days work well for you guys. But we definitely have goals. We kind of want to get away from the Thursday and see if we do something a little bit earlier on in the week. So let us know your thoughts. If you need to get a hold of us, guys, email us for the time. Don't forget, smash the like button, the share, the subscribe. Turn on your notification so you never miss an episode. And thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for supporting us and encouraging us on this adventure that we're on with Mostly Peaceful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. And see you next time. Bye.